Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be discussing gold today. There's lots to talk about gold today, about new dollars coming into play, perhaps falling gasoline prices, also the U.S. Mint put a delay on small fractional Gold Eagle pieces because of the demand, and some of the numbers, what's happening over in Hong Kong and Japan about their increasing their gold purchase and so forth are kind of staggering. So we'll be talking about all of this today, so make sure you stay tuned. But first, we're going to go over the numbers today, the market reports, and let's see what gold and silver managed to do today. We have gold 1431 up 1710. Silver, 23.25, up 21 cents. Platinum, 14.36, up 15. Palladium, 6.73, down 5. And certainly off the lows of the day in all the metals. Even silver hit a 22.78, so it was good to see it come back to the 23.25. I think this is a pretty good chance. We've, with the amount of purchasing, the amount of buying that is going on, I think it has at least stabilized the prices of gold and silver. So, but the attempts are still there to put pressure on it. But in my professional opinion, after all these years, I'd like to think that we have at least settled here, and it'll be an interesting end of the month. USDX today down 0.10 at 82.93. Crude oil today, that was up big today, up 2.5 at 91.59. So get used to your low gasoline prices, because you know, that's what they're kind of figuring on for a little bit better economy. They're hoping that with the lower gasoline prices, that the consumer out there would have another $80 billion to spend on things like clothes, electronics, and or entertainment. But with higher oil prices, you can just hear that being sucked out the window. That's not going to happen. So, you know, their little one-minute good news items are smacked right out with the truth. And you have, let's see what the markets have done today. The paper. Let's go to the paper markets, please. And ended a little bit low today. Earnings are coming out with some economic data. I guess this week we're going to see some reports are coming out. I thought I saw the GDP was supposed to be released on the 26th. to find out the third revision. But the Dow was down 43 points today at 14,676. The NASDAQ basically unchanged at 32.69. S&P, no movement there either, 15.78. The 10-year yield, 170. Not much change in those markets today. But I think the big news was gold up and oil up also. And I'm going to say good afternoon, Alfred. And just to let the listeners know, you know I have to tell them, it's a happy birthday day, Al.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
And
so thanks very much, and happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's going to be tough blowing out all those 39 candles.
Yeah, I know that. I'm going to get a leaf blower.
Yeah?
I'm going to get a leaf blower in order to knock out all the candles on top of the cake, but I think we'll get them.
Is it 39 or 93?
it's actually 68.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people say I don't look a day over 67, so what can I tell you?
Yeah. I think Frankie, our producer, has a birthday too this week or next week.
Yeah, I think
week.
He does. I think next he's got week. One. He's also
April babies.
Mm, is Frank still in April? In the month of April?
April,
is
he? April 30th.
I'm surprised. That's a good month. I'm surprised they let Frank in on that one, but I guess actually, I thought...
July.
I thought he'd be in May or something like that, but I guess not.
July's a better month, but
is it?
Yeah. And just today, the U.S. Mint ran out of its smallest American Gold Eagle today after demand has been surging, and of course we've had the biggest drop in three decades for gold, and the sale of the coins are of the 1/10 ounce. They were suspended today after the demand more than doubled. Here in this year of 2013 from a year ago. They've done this before. And so depending, you know, they will, their goal is to keep the 1 ounce. So that's where their goal is to keep the 1 ounce coins flowing. So the total sales of American Eagles in April have almost tripled from a month earlier. And that's according to the American Eagle website. And you have shoppers from India to China and Japan purchasing the U.S., Australia to buy jewelry and coins after we again seen the 13% in 2 days. Through April 15th, you had the Indian buyers flocking to stores and banks for ornaments and coins and bars from the Perth Mint in Australia. They doubled the retail sales across and Australia doubled, and retail sales across China tripled. So it's certainly overseas purchasing jumped 36% in the 3 months ending June from a year earlier. Volumes of gold products sold jumped 150% in Hong Kong during the April 13 weekend compared to the weekend before. Retail sales tripled across China on April 15th to the 16th. Japanese consumers, they're poised to become net buyers of gold for the first time in 8 years as the yen's decline and looming inflation drive them to seek refuge in bullion. So, folks.
What's that prove, Melody? It proves that the system tried to take gold down. They knocked it down 13%. It was impressive, scary, and so on. They knocked it down 13% for the purpose of diminishing confidence in gold and increasing confidence in the dollar. And the net result, nevertheless, has been decreasing confidence in gold and increasing confidence in the dollar. That was presumably one of their objectives. If it was, completely failed, blew up in their face. We had reports on, Friday and Monday, the days when the stock dropped 85 bucks and 115 or whatever it was, that buyers outnumbered sellers 50 to 1. That was obvious evidence there was enormous confidence in gold. What we are seeing from the reports you just made, the confidence is extended, is demonstrated around the world. And what it reminds me of is Obama's attempts at gun control. Every time he tries to slow down, every time he tries to impair the sale of firearms in his country, all that happens is people buy an extra million guns. All right? The same thing is happening with the gold.
Mm-hmm.
They have created a spectacular buying opportunity, and people are just jumping in. They're not afraid. They're not afraid, and they haven't lost confidence in gold. If anything, this downward plunge, the April plunge, has perhaps increased confidence in gold and silver. Huh? So it's interesting from that perspective. We've got the governments, oh, we're going to restrict gun rights. What do? They sell another million firearms. They're going to restrict, they're going to interfere with our... with the price of gold, metal and the price of gold. I think it's blown up in their face. What they're going to do next, who knows? We can presume, we can speculate that the gold was taken down. The price was dramatic. It was dropped by basically $200 in over a course of 2 days. We can speculate, we don't know for sure, but we can speculate that part of the reason for that, well, again, to diminish the confidence in gold. And now I get to spend so much time trying to introduce my thought, forgot what my thought was. So I had something to say there, Melody.
How old probably, are you today, Al?
I'm 68. I'm sure it'll be back by this time next year. I'm sure the idea will be back. But the point is, the government is not... Oh, point. What they were doing, presumably, was motivated by desperation. Whatever reason motivated them to knock the price of gold down $200, they had to recognize there were risks attached. It blew up in their face. At least that's the appearance right now. It appears that it's blown up in their face. The only people's confidence, the only thing the public's confidence has been shaken in, people were concerned that it would shake the April plunge in the price of gold would shake the public's confidence in gold. What's really happened, it's shaken the people's confidence in the Federal Reserve and or the federal government. They're the ones that are coming up short on this. So far, if we can regain, go back $10 a day, $50 a week, it may take a month or two to regain the former price. It won't be as dramatic as when the Fed and its agents were able to knock the price of gold down $200 in 2 days. Won't be so dramatic, but if it persists and we make the recovery within 30, 60 days, it will be evidence that what the Fed did was futile, didn't amount to anything. And that's, what have they got left? And what made them so desperate that they were willing to try this overt criminal act, collapsing the price of gold? What made them that desperate? There's something out there, Melody, and it has not yet been revealed. We haven't seen it, but something's making these people nervous.
I think so, too. And basically, I think they needed to buy it, and I think they needed the prices lower. Maybe it could have even been an agreement with some of these other governments. You never know. But you do have to know that with higher gold prices, you have to understand that it brings attention to the federal government. It brings attention to the Federal Reserve. It brings attention to our problems. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if we had had rising gold prices, now I'm not saying, coincidences with Boston, with gold. Gold could have been higher. Gold could have scooted off to 2,000. Who knows? But I think there's multiple reasons, and I do believe that this is backfiring.
Yeah.
There's more and more inquiries into how it can be done, why it was done.
Yep.
I didn't have a chance to catch the segment. I always have CNBC on. You have to know what these idiots are saying in the paper world on the other side. And, they're bringing out experts on and giving classes on shorting the markets and, how it's supposed to work and so forth. So to me, and they're making it sound that it's not so bad, and I do believe it's all related to what they've done to gold, how they were able to trash it, and again, they're defending their what they've done. So to me, that's telling me that they did lose control of it. They might have accomplished what they wanted to, but I don't think they got the same end results.
No, I think this has been right at the moment. You know, we never know what's going to happen for certain. But right at the moment, it appears that this has probably been at least a minor, maybe a major disaster for the Federal Reserve and the powers that be and whoever's responsible for driving gold down $200 in those 2 days. One of the fundamental revelations that's come out of this is just as you're describing, people are looking to understand how was this done? Mm-hmm. How'd they knock the price of gold down $200? People are beginning to understand that it's done with paper. They're beginning to appreciate, I think, for the first time on a widespread basis, that there is a significant difference between the paper market, which is all we see out of COMEX, and a true physical gold market. What went down was paper gold is what declined by $200 an ounce. The presumption that physical gold has the same price as paper gold has been strained, stretched, hasn't been broken yet, but it has been revealed with what happened on April 13th and what, 12 and 15, if I recall, Friday the 12th and Monday the 15th. What's happened there has demonstrated and made people aware, wait a second, that's the market for paper. What's the price on physical gold? And we're beginning to see people are growing awareness that cannot serve the government well. I think it's been a terrible problem for them, and I'm going to speculate. There's no telling what these people will do, especially if they're desperate. But I'm going to speculate that they have probably learned their lesson, and they are not likely to cause another significant plunge in the price of gold, because it's about as stupid as Obama. If you really want to get guns off the street, the last thing you want to do is advocate gun control. Truth of the matter is, if they wanted to get rid of all the guns, the government should come out and say, listen, we're going to order. Everybody has to buy a gun. Right? We'll pass a law that everyone has to buy guns. And people, oh, no, you're forcing us to buy guns. The public will revolt. Who knows? They might get rid of their. But my point is governments not doing well with guns. Governments not doing well with gold. And I suspect that the linkage between the two is more than tenuous. People who have guns get gold. People who have gold get guns. I think we're talking about a political party, practically. All right? The guns and gold. How about that, Melody? Instead of Republicans and Democrats, how about the guns and gold party?
The GGG.
GG.
GGG. Can't forget the other G.
What's the other G?
God.
Oh, all right. Yeah, and you're exactly right. You're exactly right. You're right. Yeah. God, guns, and gold. Is this a great party or what? Should be our motto. In any case, what else have we got, Melody? We got maybe a minute and 15 seconds before we're going to take our break. You know what we could do?
What's that?
We could take our break now and see if Frank is on the ball and ready to actually play the music. If we end this segment early rather than late, he is. He is. He's there. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Melody has a special for you today, and I'm not absolutely certain, but I think Melody's going to talk a little bit about a comparison of the price of gold mint state coins over the last year and how their prices have changed. Is that part of the topic du jour here, Melody, or is that for another time?
No, it is. It's a very brief comparison. A client came to me and said they heard, and this is why I always encourage you folks to bring me information, because I can do this type of comparison. But they heard that if you purchase circulated, extra fine $20 gold pieces, the whole group, which means both of the 20s, the $10, the $5, the $2.50 in both the Liberty and the Indian, that over a year's period of time, even though gold has gone down, they actually went up. So I got my paper and pen out, and I decided to see how much they went up and also do the comparison with Mint State 62 group of the same coins. So if you go back to April 24th, 2012, spot was $1,643. Today, $1,428, is a short of $215. If you purchase Mint State 62 coins, that whole group that I mentioned on the extra fines, instead of gaining $190 like the circulated coins did, you would have gained almost $600.
So, and by circulated coins, why don't you clarify that for these folks so we're sure we understand what we're talking about here?
The circulated coins are the extra fines. And the group of coins, it's actually a group of 8 coins, which would be 2 of the $20 gold pieces, the extra fine $20 St. Gaudens, the extra fine $20 Liberties, the $10 pieces, which include the Liberty and the Indian, along with the 5, which is the same, and the 2.50. So those are the circulated group of coins that I did the comparison with. A year ago versus today, they are up $190 in that group of coins. But if you would have purchased Mint State 62 coins at the same time, they're up almost $600. A $395 increase over the circulated. So as attractive as that might sound when you're dealing on the circulated gold pieces, we're going to take it a step further and see what the group of Mint State 62 coins did, and they were far superior. Plus, you don't have to worry about the true condition of the coins. They're guaranteed to be what they are in their cases. So when you hear somebody says, oh, you don't want to pay the extra money just to have your coin certified in a plastic container, well, folks, it's $600 that you threw away. Mm-hmm. And today's special, Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. Looking at all the prices, I did the comparison on pricing with the lower grades and the higher grades, and these are just a fantastic price. Mint State 64 St. Gaudens, $20 gold pieces, $1,995. And with silver being so tight, we will include a Morgan silver dollar with that. So $1,995 for a Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens, and a VG Plus circulated Morgan silver dollar, $1,995. So, folks, it's important to get those Mint State coins, and it's important because they do serve a purpose. It's buying them properly. That's the key. And we're here to help you do that. We're here to help you buy them properly so you don't get taken like so many other of my competitors do to their customers. And Al, I also want to do an update on silver. Silver Eagles still seem to be tight. I've seen some prices out there where they're offering Silver Eagles at $30 and $31. I did some numbers, and I wouldn't recommend that people pay $30 and $31 for Silver Eagles. However, we have gotten enough calls that perhaps we'll wait to see what Monday brings, and maybe I'll just go out on the limb and bring in some Silver Eagles. But
well, you give the people, they'll still have the option of buying
the
Morgan dollars at a better price, probably. The Morgan dollars will be less expensive. You'll be able to get a better price. They're available for immediate delivery. The Silver Eagles may take, who knows, a month or more for delivery under these circumstances, and the price is going to be higher. But if people want Silver Eagles, and they want them now, and they want to pay the premium on it, well, give them what they want. Recommend. We can recommend Morgan dollars, but if you want Silver Eagles, they're available, but there's a premium. And it's not just Melody's putting on. The wholesaler is adding significantly to the premium on these. If you want them, you got to pay the wholesaler. And,
We'll see what next week brings, and I'll make arrangements and so forth. We probably won't do this prior to Monday, but I have a whole list of folks that I promised I'd call them if we got Silver Eagles in, and we'll let you have the offer. And the reason I find this, it's human nature that people get caught up, and I'm not saying this is not a difficult time. I'm not saying, and I've said for years, one day we will wake up and there won't be any product there. Well, I didn't think it would happen with the market going down. I thought we'd see it more with the price going up and our dollar collapsing and things being more active in the financial markets to the downside. That's when I thought we would see when the next phase of the gold market, when the general populace comes into play, that's when I thought we would see the elimination of product. However, I think things do work their way through the system. And I think once the backlog frees itself up, I believe in a couple of weeks we will see a different view of the markets. We've seen it in the past. Historically, that has been the way it has worked. So I'd have to believe that we would see the same thing, but time will tell.
Time will tell, or time may not tell, at least not for a while. It depends on what time it is. Time will tell, but we don't know what time it's going to tell. All right? That making sense, Melody?
No, it does not, Al.
All right. Well, what can I say? You know, we try to clarify and illuminate, but sometimes our little candle kind of blows out, and there you are. Nothing left but a little smoke. Here's something that's not smoke. Here's something from Silver Doctors. Former CME CEO refused physical delivery for 2 gold contracts. Signs of extreme physical tightness in the gold and silver market continue to intensify with reports of banks and firms refusing their customers physical delivery of their own bullion. These reports are increasing by the hour. What we know is Monday, Jim Sinclair reported 3 instances, including the Bank of Switzerland and the London Bullion Market Association. They did not make good on their... They wouldn't give people entitled gold. One guy at the Swiss bank came in. He had a significant quantity of gold. The quantity is unknown to me, but it was described as significant. It could be, we're talking about, who knows, hundreds of pounds. I'm not sure. It might have been a ton. I don't know what he wanted there, but he wanted to get his gold out of the Swiss bank. Swiss bank wouldn't give it to him. All right, we had someone else who tried to get on an order with London Bullion Metals Association. He wanted to take gold. He had shorted gold, gone long, whatever, but in any case, he'd made his bet on the market, and he didn't want paper. He wanted gold. They wouldn't give it to him. There was a third corporate instance that Sinclair was talking about, and here's Silver Doctors talking about 2 more contracts today when a former CEO of CME, which is an investment group, he refused delivery on 2 contracts on Tuesday. He attempted to stand for delivery 2 April gold contracts for just 200 ounces. This isn't a big deal exactly as the market goes. And according to the reports from the floor, the CMA refused to physically deliver 200 ounces of gold to its former CEO and would only provide Malamed, his name, a warehouse receipt. These are leaves in the breeze. They don't prove anything. They're anecdotes. But they are coming with increasing frequency. It started with Hugo Chavez back 2 years ago anyway when he said, I want my gold from the Federal Reserve. And it took him a year to get it. And then Germany said, we want our gold. And other nations are perhaps following suit. And they're not getting their gold in a hurry. Now, these are nations, a nation like Germany. They put their gold, they trusted it to the Federal Reserve, one of the Federal Reserve banks in New York City. And guess what? They want the gold, and they can't. It's going to take them a couple of years to get their gold back. Now, there may be some sort of a good reason for that, but it seems to me if I entrust someone with a pound of gold, and I go back and I say, I'd like my gold now, I expect it now. I don't expect it in 6 months or a year. That's implicit. When I drop the gold off, it's implicit that when I want it, I get it back. We are seeing more stories that people are not getting their gold. Just a few stories, but a month ago, 6 months ago, we weren't seeing any stories. Now we're starting to see these stories. It's evidence that people who are holding gold, even if it's not their own, are unwilling or unable to release it in some instances, and it makes us wonder how close are we to a moment when the people who've been investing in paper gold are going to have to admit they don't have any physical gold to back it up. What happens to the price of gold if and when that happens, Melody? Physical gold.
Oh my gosh. You know, Al, we say all the time, it's just a matter of time, and it truly is. It is just a matter of time until, and I said for a long time also, gold is going to have the biggest scandal there ever was because there isn't gold there to supply the contracts. These central banks have leased out their gold. They've leased it over and over. They've leased out gold they don't have. And the day of reckoning is coming. And it remains to be seen how it's going to play out. But what we do know is by owning it, it makes it more of a positive to own the physical than anything else. And, of course, it encourages higher prices, of course.
Not just owning it, but possessing it.
Possessing it.
Yeah. It's important to own that physical gold. It's also important to possess it where it is close at hand. And, you know, people who advertise that you need to move your gold to a foreign country or put it in a foreign vault where it's secure from your government. What makes you think it's going to be secure from their government? If there's ever a time when our government starts seizing gold, do you think the other governments of the world aren't going to follow suit? I mean, if gold becomes confiscated by our government, it'll be confiscated by foreign governments, not all of them. But there's a high probability that a number of them will follow, and they would delight. If they're going to seize gold, where would they take it? From their own people or from vaults that they know are full of gold that's owned by foreigners? I'm sure that given the opportunity and the choice, foreign governments would much rather take gold from people who are not part of their country.
And, you know, something else I think as this goes along now, people are becoming more vocal and beginning to stand up for what they believe. I was earlier today, I saw how you had last night they had protesters in Paris because the French Parliament, they approved legislation authorizing same-sex couples to marry and to adopt children. You know, the government wants it. The people do not.
Yeah.
The vote made France the 14th country in the world to legalize gay marriage. And, of course, that was hailed by supporters as an epic-defining commitment to equality. That's what you have in a one-world government and a one-world association is their commitment to equality. But you've had marches. They turned violent. People are reacting to things that are being done to them and to their country
and to their values, to their system of values. They're just saying, well, in the name of equality, we can defy the Christian faith, for example, right? Which prohibits Jewish faith prohibits, at least as you read what the Bible says. If you can believe what God says, it prohibits anything like this. And as Christians, and as Jews, we're supposed to just sit back and say, oh, that's all right. This country may have started as a Christian nation, but we don't have to respect that. Some people are upset, and they think, in fact, we should respect it. We did well as a Christian nation. We are doing less well as a secular nation, as an economy. We've moved from being a Christian nation to a secular economy. It means a shift in values that does not bode well. What else do we have, Melody?
Oh, uh-huh. I'll let you take over.
All right, let me take a look here. Here's one from Nestle, the CEO of
chocolate?
Nestle. These are the people. Yep, they make chocolate. The headline is, water is not a human right, should be privatized. What he really means is it should be corporatized. And what the CEO says, the article reads, is water a free and basic human right? Or should all the water on the planet belong to major corporations and be treated as a product? Should the poor who cannot afford to pay these said corporations suffer from starvation due to their lack of financial wealth? According to the former CEO and now chairman of the largest food product manufacturer in the world, corporations should own every drop of water on the planet, and you're not getting any unless you pay up. This is Nestle's Peter Brabeck, I believe that's his name, and he's also in favor of genetically modified foods and advocates their proven safety. What do you think, Melody? Should corporations be allowed to own all the water on Earth?
Well, really, when you think about it, they pretty much already do with all the bottled water that they sell. I mean, that was the beginning of it. That was
That's
the beginning of the control. I mean, I can remember many, many years ago, you'd have to be an idiot to pay for water. But here we are in today's world, and who does
buying it by the case?
Buying it by the case.
Yeah, there was a day when these people must be crazy. Buy a bottle of water. Now you're buying it by the case.
And we're paying four times as much as it, we did, you know, so many when it first started to come out. So in essence, they already do have some sort of control over the water. And I do believe that this is a way that they will begin to bring in and control things. I mean, that's what it's all about. So
it's all about, but it's wrong.
This
article I'm reading from, it says, the way in which this sociopath clearly has zero regard for the human race outside of his own wealth and development of Nestle, who's been caught funding attacks against GMO labeling, can be witnessed when watching and listening to his talk on the issue. It's not a very clear sentence. I'm not sure. It looked like about 75 words. But in any case, the author of the article is describing the Nestle CEO as a psychopath. And there are an increasing number of stories that suggest that the way to get to the top in a corporation is, first of all, you have to be something of a psychopath, a sociopath. And under those circumstances, if you don't really give a damn about your fellow man, you may have the right stuff to become president of a major corporation. This is an example of that kind of thinking. I don't know how. It's almost too incredible to sit back and say, here's a man who makes a lot of money and is intelligent, well-educated, and so on, and yet he has the audacity to say that corporations should own all the water and no one should get any unless they pay for it. Is the man out of his mind? Right? I mean, it's such a stupid statement to make.
Is the man mad?
Is he really mad? Or is the world gone mad and they're just going to say, well, yeah, that sounds reasonable to me. I think Nestle should own all the water out there in my swimming pool or maybe in the creek going by the house and the rest of that sort of thing. It's insane. How about the water in the clouds? Here's a question for you, though, Melody. If Nestle, for example, owned all the water, what happens if there's a rainstorm that washes your house away? Is Nestle responsible for failure to control all of its water? What about a tsunami? Could Nestle, if they owned all the water, could they be held liable for the tsunami that sweeps away villages and kills hundreds or thousands of people?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, Al, you know, we talk about this one guy at Nestle's, but you know what? All these major, there's some good ones, but, I mean, they're all evil. And there's more of them like that. Their self-interest, their goals, they're all part of the system in order to create and to control. And they are downright evil. And they want to control electricity.
Wicked.
Yes, very much.
That's
they want to. Oh, we're past break. Way to go, Al.
Oh, listen to this. I'm Alfred Addis, having my birthday today. Here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Melody will be back in the office in about 15 minutes. You call with that number, you'll be able to catch her at 1-800-375-4188. Take advantage of the special she's offered today. Got any questions? She'll be happy to answer them. In the meantime, let's talk about the new $100 bills.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Just came out. The government just announced yesterday, I believe, the U.S. will put into circulation a newly designed $100 bill in October, coming in October 8th, that aims to thwart counterfeiters.
Dang, counterfeiters.
Uh-huh. And with advanced security features. Well, what do you think, Melody? Is there more to it than this?
Well, actually, because we do have a new secretary, they do have to come out with, they do have to print a new, all the currencies, I guess, with his name on it. We've been through this path before, so.
Yeah, but they don't have to redesign the currency for that basis. No. They might have to put a new name on the.
But they knew they'd have to do something, so.
Well, you know, I was reading this probably 8 years ago anyway, maybe 10, I don't recall. I was reading through Federal Prosecutor's Manual, and one of the things in the Federal Prosecutor's Manual, they explained that counterfeiting is, when they charge someone with counterfeiting, it is at base a copyright violation law. Huh? Counterfeiting, now that's surprising. The reason you can't make a $100 bill is because you don't have the copy. You don't have the copyright to do so. That's the implication, which raises a very interesting question. Who does? Who owns the copyright on the $100 bills? And I would guess it's the Federal Reserve, but it might be the federal government, or who knows who it is. I don't know. I don't know who holds that copyright. But sometimes I wonder if a new bill coming in, does it indicate a new copyright? Does it indicate that a different entity, maybe the Federal Reserve had it up until now, but maybe they're going to say, okay, Bill Clinton, we're going to give you the copyright on $100 bills. What do you suppose it'd be worth? I have no idea. It's just a rhetorical question, but it is interesting to understand that these are copyright violations, counterfeiting, copyright violation. What's another interesting thing about the new $100 bill? I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, Melody, but the bill says up in the upper right-hand corner, you can read 100, left-hand corner, 100, lower left-hand corner, 100, lower right-hand corner, 100, but at no point do you see a dollar sign. Up at the top, it does say $100. Let me see. Let me get a closer view of this. Yeah, up. Let me see. It says $100. That's right. In print. Words, not numbers. But it, other than that, it says 100, 100, 100 on the face of it. But at no point do you see a dollar sign. Do you understand the significance of that melody? No dollar sign. It means that when they say $100 and they write it out, the question is, what kind of dollars? Huh? The term dollars is ambiguous. There are more than one kind of dollars. Originally, there were Spanish dollars. That's where we got the name for United States dollars. When the country started, and probably through 1933 anyway, when the country was printing the dollar bills, perhaps even as late as 1964, I don't know when they stopped, but they printed the original sign for United States money was a U superimposed over an S. U.S. dollars was our symbol. Over time, that symbol, they cut the little curve out at the bottom of the U, and it became just two vertical lines over an S. That is the symbol, the monetary symbol for United States dollars of the kind that represent physical money, gold and silver, a physical mass of metal. An S with two vertical lines. The two vertical lines are the remnant of the U. Over time, they took the bottom of the U out the little curve. What we see when we see modern dollar signs, we see an S with one vertical line through them. And it signifies two different kinds of money. Right? One is, when you have the two vertical lines, you actually have a currency that is based on gold or silver. When you see the one vertical line, you've got nothing but a paper debt instrument, a fiat currency. These are two different kinds. And my point is that when you see just 100, 100, 100, but it doesn't have a dollar sign in front of it, they're not telling us which kind of money this is. Now, I believe it's going to be the dollars that have the single vertical line, meaning a fiat currency that's pure paper. Huh? I think that's the kind of dollars we're talking about. But there are some people who've speculated that this new currency, it has some elements that some people describe as gold-like. And I think it was Bix Weir did an article on this back a couple of years ago. These dollars were scheduled to come out in 2010 originally. They were postponed because of alleged technical problems printing them. I think that was a pretext to, but apparently they're coming out this October, and it's interesting because it does signify something significant has probably happened in the background. And what that is remains to be seen, but it's a little bit of cause for celebration. There's a mystery here. We don't know for sure. I don't know for sure what's happening or what their motive is for the new currency. They say it's just to prevent counterfeiting. I don't believe that's true. But it's cause for a certain amount of celebration if they're planning to put a new currency out on October 8th. It's kind of evidence that they don't intend to collapse the economy or do any more damage than absolutely necessary between now and that time. If they had schemes in place that some of our conspiracy theories suggest, they might, no point to preparing to issue a new currency on October 8th if we're going to collapse the economy in the meantime. So if a new currency is coming out, Melody, it may be evidence that we're going to get to the end of this year. We may still be able to celebrate Christmas, maybe even New Year's before it all goes to heck. Well,
what's interesting is these have been in development since 2003, and they act like counterfeiting is a problem that you know, all of a sudden it's they need to change. And how severe is it if it takes this long from 2003, mm-hmm. 10 years, to get it into the system? And the old notes will be destroyed and replaced as they pass through the Fed system. So I'm not sure if that has any bearing on numbers and stats as far as dollars that are being circulated. But two-thirds, I think this is interesting too, two-thirds of the Federal Reserve notes are in circulation outside of the U.S. So you have to ask yourself, in these other countries, when you have two-thirds of the dollar circulating, and we know that confidence is a key component in order to keep our currency, the reserve currency, what does that do to confidence? You know, here you have the U.S., this, you know, that is badly in debt, bigger than all these other countries that are in debt. And now they're coming out with a new currency. Is that going to instill more confidence or less confidence?
Well, I can tell you that one of the things that's interesting about the newmoney.gov website, if you folks wanted to take a look at these new dollars, you can go to newmoney.gov and you'll find it. Let's start there. Now, what was I going to say was interesting? Oh, they have sections. They have a section here where you can, they will provide training materials. And if you go to your home page and they'll say free training and education materials are available to download or order, go click on the download. It'll take you to a page that has four or five different items, maybe six, that you can download to help explain this new currency. These are posters. These are booklets. They're trying to make it available. And what's interesting about them is you can specify what language you want them in. These are being made available. These educational materials are not really made available for people here in the United States. They're going to be made available for people around the world. I don't know how many languages they're working in, but I haven't looked, and I'm not going to right now, but several for sure, and perhaps a lot. They want this dollar, this new form. It's got to be recognized overseas. So people see it and say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, this is a $100 bill. If they don't recognize it, they're going to say, what the heck is this? Is this Monopoly money? Is this new Monopoly money from Parker Brothers? They'd be close. But they have to educate around the world, and the reason they're doing that, I'm sure, is to maintain the dollar's position as much as it still retains as world reserve currency. So,
all right, so we're just
we got about 60 seconds, Melody.
Folks, give us a call for your special. I'll be there. Carlo will be there. Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens, one Morgan silver dollar, $1,995. The fundamentals for gold and silver are still there, folks. Don't forget that. You had orders for long-lasting U.S. manufactured good. The durable goods report came out today, and that just delivered more bad news. The stock market should have been down 100 points or more, probably 250 points on this news. The durable good order slumped about 5.7%. So the demand across the board has slumped. And again, just another sign, folks. The day of reckoning is coming, and I hope you are prepared. If you are not, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
All right, Melody, thank you. I'm Alan. Thank all of you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow with Wendy Wilson. Thanks for listening. Please tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All
day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.